the American dream. To his last breath, he'll always be a soldier.
Heard on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. And by ADT Security. For over 140 years, your first line of defense.
This is The National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you. The men and women serving in our military, it's for the millions of veterans out there, and it's for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
I love it when Jerry's on the show because it's fun just to try to figure out what he's saying. It's a fun thing. Hi, Jerry.
Yeah. Let's see. Who's
welcome,
in the
welcome back.
Welcome back. I'm trying to think of the right words.
I know you are. You do that every week.
Despise, loathe.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome into the National Defense. Listen, this is good stuff. Jeff McChesney is with us. Jeff is a colonel, so you will address him as such.
Yeah, you know that's going to
Jeff, how are you doing?
No, but he was a fighter pilot.
Yeah, he was a fighter pilot.
So that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Where'd you fly, Jeff?
Hi, guys. Good talking to you. Thanks for having me today.
Hey, yeah, nice to have you. What did you fly?
I was predominantly an F-15 pilot, combat commander and instructor pilot, and flew it for, you know, over 20 years. So, but I flew on a bunch of different airplanes, but the predominant one was the F-15.
Wow, that's cool.
Is that what I flew on with the Blue Angels?
Well, it depends on when
you did. F-18. The Blue Angels.
Yeah, that was cool. You want to hear my Blue Angel story again?
No.
Okay.
No.
Anyway, hey, Jeff, welcome to the program. Jeff is he's got a great deal going, Patriot Growth Capital. It's a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business and formed in, I guess, just last year, right?
Yeah, that's correct. We just put it together last year, but we're actually just starting our outreach to the veteran community last week. So we're just now starting to put it out in the marketplace and ready to start taking on clients and help support veterans.
So what's your plan with this, Jeff? How are you reaching out to veterans, and what is it? What's your pitch to them?
Yeah, so I mean, really, what Patriot Growth Capital is, it's an endeavor of passion. You know, I'm a veteran, and there's obviously veterans are going to be listening to this radio play today. And what I'm trying to do is give back to veterans on some things that I had problems with as I got out of the military and got into business myself. And so one of the things that is very difficult for veterans and catching up in the business world is how to actually build a strategy, have the expertise, and then actually go out and raise capital to continue to grow your business, because capital is the lifeblood to move the business at a more rapid pace. And you can do it indigenously, but that sometimes takes 10 or 20 or 30 years to grow the business, whereas if you get outside capital, you might be able to hit the same levels of growth in a year or two. And so I actually was out in the marketplace and had problems in the early part of my business career, which is in around the year 2003, it was very difficult to find capital from venture capitalists. And it was very difficult to understand how to do it. Now, I've had over 10 startups since then. I've been the CEO of multiple companies. I've been involved in raising capital. I'm an angel investor myself. And what we've done is we found out that as we've talked to the veteran community, we're not unique and we're not alone. And many of them are looking for the same kinds of access. And most importantly, they're looking for somebody that they can trust in the financial space. And that's why we're here, because Patriot Growth Capital is by veterans and for veterans to help them raise capital and to grow their businesses faster, hopefully to help employ a bunch of other veterans and the whole community to move forward in time.
So, Jeff, I'm thinking that perhaps there's a lot of veterans who have a dream of owning and operating their own business. And, you know, since they've spent time in the military, they're not really familiar what avenues are open to them for getting money to open a business. You know, they immediately probably think, well, you know, I can maybe get a small business loan, or maybe VA can help me out. But, you know, this whole concept of someone providing capital, venture capital, is probably just something they know nothing about.
It's quite true. I mean, I use myself as an example. When I was starting my first startup in 2003, I really didn't know where to turn. And I turned to a set of commercial bankers and investment bankers, and they provided some services, but they didn't understand a lot of the things that I did or did not know coming into the marketplace. You know, the military does a fantastic job training leaders. And so when you have a group of veterans deciding to start a business or continuing to grow a business or take over a family business, whatever their personal goals are, they're coming from a position of how do I work with people to accomplish a goal? But they don't have the skill sets of the accounting pieces and how to, you know, work balance sheets and how to actually do capital formation, whether it's debt or equity. And so they're at a loss, and they don't know who to turn to really trust. And many times they'll turn to family members or somebody that they might know, but in a lot of cases they don't even know those people. So what we're trying to provide to them is an avenue to turn to, the people that you can trust. We've been in the business for a long time. Between my partner and myself, we've raised over $43 billion in capital.
Was that with a B?
$43 billion?
$43 billion, and
wow,
we've done over 150 deals. And so we've seen a lot. There may be something we haven't seen, but in reality, probably most of what you're going to end up being exposed to as you're growing your business, we have a way to work through it. We also have a very deep understanding in the government space. So for some other veterans that have decided to go after the federal contracting, service-disabled veteran-owned small businesses, or veteran-owned small businesses, or woman-owned small businesses, or even hub-zone small businesses, we've got a very deep understanding of the government contracting world and some of the unique aspects of how to finance those and not lose your set-aside status. So we've got a full suite of services we provide that we want to help with veterans, and we're specifically focused in on the veteran community. We're not chasing you know, other minorities. We're not chasing other people that are just walking in off the street. We want to help the 20 million-plus veterans that are out there to have a part of the American dream.
So
all of a sudden, Jerry just woke up when he heard the word billion. Do you notice that?
Yeah, because hey.
Is that with a B?
I've got some ideas.
All right, wait. Hang on a second. Hang on a second with your ideas.
You always ignore me.
We're talking to Jeff McChesney with Patriot Growth Capital. Hey, Jeff, so, you know, the other part of that, and you kind of mentioned some of this stuff, but, you know, being a veteran brings a lot of challenges, but it also brings a lot of advantages. You know, when you're talking about government contracts and veteran-owned businesses and those kinds of things. So, yeah, I would imagine that would be a very specific skill set that you need to kind of navigate through that. And the other part of that, Jerry, is that when you come out of the service, you walk into a bank and they say, "What's your experience?
What's your plan?
What's your plan?"
Yeah. So, you know, I think a good analogy that perhaps some veterans who aren't familiar with any of this, think Shark Tank, but keep in mind when those people appear on Shark Tank,
yeah,
they have a plan.
Yeah.
You know, so a venture capitalist is someone like the people on Shark Tank.
Right.
Is that a good way to put it so they understand?
It kind of is. And, you know, one of the things, that there's two levels that that I approach this business at. About 6 or 7 years ago, I was thinking about trying to bring this into the marketplace. And I actually am executing on it fully now. But 6 or 7 years ago, we were trying to, my partner and myself, Rob Afric, we both were approaching this. And at that time, there was a huge outflow of military veterans coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan. And that huge outflow had very few people to turn to in the venture capital space, the startup space. You know, I need $100,000 because I've got a great idea for a new dry cleaner or a new cybersecurity company or whatever the aspect of where that they were trying to grow for. And there were very few capabilities that were around for them. The good news is over the last 5 years, there have been a tremendous number of opportunities to start growing to help with the initial onset, how to build your business plan, how to raise the first $100,000. We have a series of networks that we're tied into that can provide that initial capital, the smaller outlays that you might need to get you up and running and get going. Our focus is on the next level, where because there's so many additional services that now exist from universities and the government itself for a lot of cases, is providing those initial capabilities. There's now a hole in the marketplace. When the company's up and running, it's been going, you know, it's got 20 people or 50 people. It's at, you know, say $5 million in revenue. They need to grow fast, and there's nobody to turn to. Venture capitalists and private equity firms have vacated that space. And it's not just veterans. It's pretty much everybody. And so we're in that space.
So this is after
for companies.
This is after you're on Shark Tank. This is after you're on Shark Tank, after you've started your business.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's when you guys come in and take them to the next level.
Take them to the next level. Because what's happened is it's, you know, they've got some business acumen. They started building it.
Right.
And then they have it already, you know, where they've you know, been in family business. But they really want to get going. They want to expand their business. And say they've got $5 million in revenue. That's the kind of company that we're looking for. Or their earnings might be $2 million out of that $5 million.
Right.
That's the kind of company where they've got some, you know, they've got some capability, they've got some employees, they've got a product, there's a marketing and sales effort that's going on, and they hit a wall. They just don't know how to go to the next step. We're there to give them the advice, the counsel. We have the same value set that they have, and we're there to support them. To raise that capital and to grow that business.
So that's a
hole in the marketplace we're trying to fill.
So Jerry's inflatable friend business that he wants to get off the ground, that's not where you turn to.
Now, wait a minute. I'm beyond inflatable friends. I'm into robotics.
I don't want to hear anything.
She's a dear friend. I love her very much. I told Randy, go home and pitch the idea to her. And she threw him out of the house. She brought up technical things like going to jail.
I think she actually called the police.
But I'm a man of vision. And I think I have an idea that's going to make money.
Well, Jeff, hey, thanks for your service and thanks for what you're doing for veterans. It's a fascinating program. And maybe we can have you back on in a couple of months. Find out where you are.
Good talking to you.
Well, we would love to do that. That'd be great, guys. Thoroughly enjoyed it and appreciate all your help today.
Hey, thank you so much, Jeff. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
The National Defense is made possible by Farmers Insurance. At Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, Jerry Newberry. Great story.
This is a great story. I love it.
Yeah. Right outside of Pittsburgh is an Army veteran of the Korean War named Frank Schmizzi. And Frank has got three brothers, served in World War II. And I saw this story on the news. He just got his high school diploma.
Good. Yes, I did.
Frank is on with us. Frank, how are you?
72 years late.
Wow.
Well, better late than never.
That's right. You talk about a guy who wants to finish things up. This is great. Are you 90 yet, or have you had your 90th birthday?
I'll be 90 one week from today.
Oh, hey.
God bless you.
Happy birthday. That's great.
Thank you.
This is such a great story, Frank, and I think it really, everybody that's seen it says the same thing. But this happened with your daughter, right? She's the one that made this happen.
She's the one that got this started with the school board for gave me the diploma.
Yeah, this is great. And we also have a video. And it's on our site at thenationaldefense.com, but it's they surprised Frank at Christmas. I think it's right around Christmas, right? With the news that you were going to get your high school diploma, and it's Frank's reaction is fantastic.
Yeah, great.
And why did this mean so much to you, Frank?
Well, it was something that I knew all my life that I missed. I enjoyed school, and school was not a problem for me. My grades were quite good, but I missed at least one-third of the school year. And it was that reason that they couldn't give me my grades as a sophomore. And that's when I decided to quit. Now, I did get my GED when I was in the service. I took all the tests, and I was accepted into officer candidate school.
Wow.
Oh, man. But, wow.
I was ready to go, but something happened at home, and I decided not to make a career out of the service. Had I gone to OCS, I would have had about 8 years in the service when I would be done with that, because once you go to officer candidate school, you're automatically signed up for another 5 years
right.
in active duty.
And so the reason that you dropped out of high school was I think you had to go to work, take care of the family, right?
Yes, more or less. What really happened, the principal, Mr. Barber, called me in with about a week left and told me I would have to make up 27 days of summer school in order to get my credits in my sophomore year. Well, I lived 10 miles from the school, and I absolutely had no way to get back and forth to the school, and they didn't furnish transportation.
Hey, Frank, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Frank Schmizzy. I love that name, Frank Schmizzy, here on the National Defense. No matter where you're headed, Farmers Insurance can help you plan for the insurance you want. With practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience at Farmers, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Welcome back to the National Defense. Randy Miller, Jerry Newberry, and almost 90-year-old Frank Schmizzy, who just graduated from high school.
Well, you know, getting a GED is, you know, that's an accomplishment. But it's just not the same as having that diploma in your hand, is it?
No, it isn't.
Well, and that was a great presentation that the school district did.
Yeah.
And awarded you that diploma. And I'm sure it made them feel good to give it to you.
Yes, I think it really did, in all honesty. Yeah. The school is about 25 miles from where I live today. And I think you know that I started a business after I got out of the service, and the kids still run the business today, the kids and the grandkids. And but I was surprised that the school board is about 25 miles from our little town of Greensburg, but two of the board members let me know that within the past year they had bought new automobiles from our family business.
Ah. That's pretty good.
Out of that.
That's pretty good.
And you know, Randy, that and it's probably hard for especially millennials to understand this,
yeah.
But you know, it's a different country back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s,
right?
And different economy.
Yep.
Men and women often had to drop out of school.
Yeah.
Most often because of economic reasons.
Right.
And, of course, there's a couple of minor things like World War II
yeah.
and the Korean War.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, so there's a lot of veterans who didn't have that opportunity to walk down the
aisle.
Yeah.
I had three brothers graduate from that school. So we were somewhat familiar with the school without that.
Well, Frank, my question is, when do you start college?
Well, that's what my daughter asked me.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great, though. What a great thing for a daughter to do for her dad.
It is. That's wonderful. And this is a kind of story that's uplifting.
Yeah.
That everybody should hear about.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because it's not bad news, and it's just.
I guess my daughter got hold of my discharge papers from the service, and on the discharge papers, I think that they showed the credit for the GED. months into that and decided that, gee, if you could get a GED in the service, why, that's pretty much equal to a high school diploma.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
That's when she decided she'd ask the school board if they would give me the diploma, which they were glad to do. And I was very happy over it.
No, that's great.
Just hope that and that the younger generation understand the necessity of an education when they're young. And
absolutely.
I'd love to see all the young people at least go through high school if they didn't go any further.
Well, Frank,
that would be so important in this country if all of our kids at least got a high school education.
You've answered all the questions except for what happened to the Steelers?
What happened to the Steelers?
Ouch.
Good question. We kind of worried about that, too. We felt we had the best team, but we
I know,
win.
Yeah. Frank,
I just wanted to share with Frank that I also have a GED.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Listen, here's Jerry's story. Jerry was in Vietnam, and Jerry, why did you try to get your GED?
Well, this was just prior to Vietnam, before I went.
Yeah.
You know, I noticed some guys that would fall out for formation in the morning, but they were never on any work details. They'd be gone. And so I started asking around, where are these guys at? Well, I found out they were studying to get their GED. So I said, So I went over to the first sergeant, because I thought, well, that'd get me out of work. So I'll do that. So I went down to first sergeant. I said, first sergeant, I want to get my GED. And he's like, no, you don't, Newberry. Get out of here. You just went to, So anyway, the captain overheard some of this discussion. Me and the first sergeant going back and forth. And the captain told him, he said, first sergeant, this soldier wants to get his GED. So we're obligated to do that, to help him with that. So first sergeant was really mad. And I went over there and there was a civilian running the place. And she said, well, you have to take a test first so we can see where your strong points are and your weak points, what we need to focus on. So I took the test, and she said, come back in a couple of days, and you can start class. So I went out and got me some nice pencils and pens and got me a brand-new notebook, and I showed up, and she said, you know what? Your test scores were passing, so you don't have to take any of the classes. And I looked at her and I said, but you don't understand. So anyway, I didn't get out any work details.
In fact.
Yeah, the first sergeant doubled up on me.
Yeah.
Well, we got out of a lot of work details. There was about 10 of us. We were non-commissioned officers. I was a sergeant.
Yeah, me too.
A squad leader. I was in the, in the Army, but I was in the mortar division.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I had a mortar squad, but we did all right, but there was about 10 of us who were non-commissioned officers that worked together and got our GEDs, and they were looking for officers in the service at that time.
Uh-huh.
And I was seriously considering, we were already accepted at Fort Hood, Texas. All we had to do was show up, and I think it was a 9-month class, and you would come out as a second lieutenant. But you'd be signed up for 5 more years.
Right,
so.
Right.
Well, if there was even a chance I had to carry a mortar plate, I'd be signing up for OCS, too.
Hey, Frank, it's an honor to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time today. And
nice talking to you, gentlemen.
Thanks for your service.
Yes, thanks for your service, and congratulations.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it. I've had a great week, a lot of calls, a lot of cards. And,
that's cool.
And I'm having a birthday party Saturday.
Well, good.
Yeah, happy birthday. Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Jerry, there's a big story this week that we have to talk about. I mean,
we
every week on this program, if there's something happening with and around veterans, we talk about it.
We do.
And this week, it's a big deal about the Super Bowl because AmVets.
Not only national news, but
yeah.
worldwide
oh,
news.
Yeah. Yeah, AMVETS try. You would think on the surface it's a very easy thing, right? AMVETS, a great organization for veterans, tried to purchase a commercial in the Super Bowl.
What normally happens, because I've been in that position.
Right.
You know, you get hounded by these publication companies that work on behalf of the All-Star Game, the Super Bowl, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And they'll offer up all these great deals for these ads.
Sure.
Now, the ads aren't cheap.
Well,
and especially when you're talking the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the going rate right now for the Super Bowl is $5 million for a 30-second commercial.
TV.
Yeah, TV.
Yeah.
And so anyway, Communications Director John Holworth is with us. John, how are you?
I'm well. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. It's been a big week for you.
It's been a really, really big week for me. And you're making it out to be a little bit bigger, but I appreciate that.
Well, no.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, you Google it, man. It's there.
Well, break it down for us, John.
I'll tell you what. My mom called me from the supermarket last night, like 3 minutes before I was supposed to do a radio interview. And I had to tell her I can't talk. And, of course, nobody's mom takes that.
No, exactly.
Stop talking.
Exactly. That's
right?
Exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, way to go, John. Way to go, John. That's nice, talking to your mother like that.
I tried to convince her. I had to get off the phone. Now, this is an emergency situation. Nobody's ever gotten off the phone with their mother in less than 3 minutes. But I got to make this interview, right? So that's all good. No, but what I meant, guys, was our ad was not actually – it wasn't a television ad. It wasn't a $5 million ad.
Oh, it wasn't.
It's probably about
$35, $40. It was significant. The page, the corporate rate, the full rate was $120,000 for a full page in the official Super Bowl program.
Oh, okay.
And there's no way AMVETS can afford that. We got a greatly reduced nonprofit rate that still felt like passing a kidney stone.
Yeah, right. But this is not a commercial, a TV commercial in the Super Bowl. It was a page
in the program.
Exactly. Ah. And that actually, believe it or not, makes the whole thing more absurd.
It does. It does in a way. Yeah. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of break it down for the people that don't know. What was the ad in the program was going to do what?
It was going to say hashtag please stand.
Yeah. For the people that have been kneeling during the national anthem. And
yes, but there's some nuance there. So, you know, when this whole thing kind of got, when the NFL decided to, not allow us to place this ad in the Super Bowl program.
Okay, now we haven't mentioned that yet. So the NFL did not allow them to place this ad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
What was the reasoning?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to try to give you the chronological reason digest.
Okay. Yeah.
Catch everybody
good.
Up.
Good.
Okay. So the Friday before Martin Luther King holiday, the long weekend, they called us. They said, last minute, we've got a full page that somebody backed out on. And we need to fill it, and we can do it for this price, it at a reduced rate.
All right, wait a minute, John. Wait a second. Okay, they called us. That's part of the course.
That's the pitch.
Yeah.
They use it all the time.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the pitch. And you know, they're like, but the creative deadline is really, really tight. We need everything, you know, on Monday. Yeah. But Monday's a holiday, right? So they're like, but we can extend it till Wednesday morning.
And of course they can.
We went into a huddle. Of course they can, right?
For you.
Yeah, just for us, right? So we went into a huddle. We're like, wow, they just offered us this opportunity. We should try to do it. And it's really hard for us to come up with the amount of money. It was a greatly reduced rate,
right?
But still, you know,
sure.
All our money goes to finding veterans jobs and homes.
Yep.
Things. Like we don't, you know, we're not cash rich like that. So.
Right.
We decided, we got to take this opportunity. So we put our heads together. We came up with an ad that would support our Americanism program. And our Americanism program, it works with the youth of America in schools and little league teams and stuff all over the country to promote the ideas of patriotism, service to the country, and respect for the flag.
Okay. Right.
So we're like, this would be a really good opportunity to, you know, kind of have an ad that underscores our values about this, you know, and our Americanism program, we came up with Please Stand. And then we submitted that to the NFL on first thing Wednesday morning. A few hours later, we realized, you know, we should actually go with a hashtag instead. We originally had it, Please Space Stand, period. A few hours later, we went back to the NFL, and we did it as a hashtag. We're like, maybe we can get more exposure for our Americanism program if
sure.
we go with the hashtag. You know, so that's...
Well, and let me say, John, great idea. I mean, just on a marketing level, I mean, stellar.
Yeah, we thought so too, but we had some internal dialogue about, you know, is this too controversial? Can we actually, I mean, it's the toss-up between, I mean, it's obviously got an impact, but our position is, it's got an impact because it's two words. It's very clear.
Right.
But our position is actually much more nuanced. And
I'll bet you had some internal discussions. You know, Jerry,
yeah.
Jerry's sitting over here. Jerry used to be the communications director for the VFW. He just sweaty. All of these things are coming back. Aren't they, Jerry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was assistant adjutant general.
Yeah.
For several
yeah.
years.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
man.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So yeah. You've been in some of these meetings, Jerry.
Oh, hell yes, I have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We actually decided
I need an aspirin.
Yeah, really.
Oh, you having like a flashback?
I am.
He's
yes,
having flashback.
I am.
Hey, John, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's get the rest of the story. The National Communications Director for AMVETS is on with us. We'll be right back here on the National Defense. Welcome back to the National Defense. Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. This story
brought to you by our proud sponsor, AMVETS.
Yeah. Listen, this is just getting good. This is all about this controversy that erupted in this past week with trying to place an ad in a program for the Super Bowl. And John is with us. He's communications director of AMVETS. All right, John, pick it up now.
Okay.
Where are we now?
Okay. All right. So we finally place the ad. Hashtag Please Stand.
Right.
It's going to be good, right? We get word back from the NFL. They don't like our words. They have a problem with the ad.
Okay.
That's all we heard. They don't like our words.
They don't like your words. Okay.
They don't like the words. And this is, you know, we're shocked and a bit taken off guard by this. I mean, you asked us to spend some money and place this ad, and that's our message.
Because I just heard the NFL talking about freedom of speech.
All you had to do is take the word please out. They don't like your words. Just make it stand.
Oh. Yeah. You know what? That's a joke I made in my head but never said out loud. Oh. Like, this was happening. But the word please was really, really important.
Yeah.
Okay, because we mean the word please just as much, if not more, than we mean the word stand.
Sure.
And because our position is not that people must stand. It's not that people have to stand. We don't insist that they stand. We don't judge people who don't, and we don't vilify people who don't. It's a right. It's a choice. We delight in people exercising their rights to kneel just as much as we, you know, delight in people having the right to stand. It's all good for us. We support all of that. But we're just asking that you please choose to stand.
If you have a
That's our position.
You have a choice, so we're asking you to please stand.
So that's right. You have a choice. We respect the choice. We're asking you to choose standing.
Yeah.
That's our position.
I mean, to me, that's not a big deal.
No.
But it's not a big deal.
No, wait a minute. Is that a big deal to you, Jerry?
No. All I was going to say is, well, then if they didn't like that, then, you know, add a little bit more verbiage to it and just say that you have the freedom to choose what you want to do.
Right.
But please stand.
Did you think about
that? That was kind of difficult, too, because the more words we added to the ad, the less impactful it would be on the eye.
True.
We're talking about a print
true.
Ad in a right-facing page.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I get it. But So what are they going to do?
The NFL then offered us some of its own words that they would like us to use in
well,
place
Well, that was
of
nice of them.
Yeah, that was nice of them. They offered, please stand with our veterans. And I'll tell you why that was unacceptable to us.
No. Yeah.
Our message is that makes it figurative. Please stand with our means just generally support them. That could be taken figuratively.
True.
That's not our message.
Yeah.
Our message is please literally stand. So we had to tell the NFL, I'm sorry, we don't want your words. We want ours. Take them or leave them.
Right.
And the NFL chose to leave them.
Huh.
And that's how the whole thing went down. So once we were kind of left not able to run our ad, our commander was not thrilled with that at all. And he decided to write an open letter to the commissioner. And we put out a press release about it. We put a press release out about his open letter. And then all of this started.
I thought it was a great letter. And let me tell you something else.
And it's good tactics.
It's great tactics.
The same thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the fact that we are talking about AmVets and the fact that John is on a program. I mean, I would say this actually worked out better.
Yeah,
John,
you're getting more than you would have from placing that.
Is that what you?
I actually kind of I feel guilty about that because that's true. That's true. It's been the exposure has been enormous. The truth is, we were willing to pay a whole bunch of money for this thing to just run quietly in the program.
Well,
our ad probably never would have made it out of the stadium.
Hey John, listen, we got to wrap it up. But man, thank you so much for coming on. This is it's been great talking to you. You're a great spokesperson for AmVets. What's the best place for people to find out information about AmVets?
Thanks for asking. AmVets.org. You know, if you're a veteran and you share our values, consider joining us as a member. If you share our values and you're not a veteran, consider donating to us so we can help veterans and promote our values.
And thanks for your service.
Yeah, thanks for your service. And
thank you. It's been a good time, you guys.
Great job. That was a lot of fun. We're going to have you back on.
Okay, great.
Thank you, John. We'll be back here next week with a brand new edition of The National Defense.